The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told them about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus said to them, Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they are worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have experienced suffering or loss, you have probably asked a very profound question. Where is God in this? Or you may have asked other troubling questions. Why does this world have so much suffering? Why do bad things happen to good people? Does God cause suffering? Is suffering a punishment from God? Or did they do something to deserve that? C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, says this: "The existence of suffering in a world created by a good and almighty God is a fundamental theological dilemma and perhaps the most serious objection to the Christian religion." Our scripture today doesn't solve the question of suffering in the world, but it does give us some direction. In today's gospel reading, we hear about two distressing and perplexing examples of suffering. Jesus is on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, preaching and teaching along the way. Crowds have gathered to hear him speak when some of those present bring up a terrible event. Pilate, the same Pilate who would oversee the crucifixion of Jesus, had murdered Galilean Jews. And even more appalling, he did this terrible thing while they were making their religious sacrifices in Jerusalem. Jesus knew the question on the minds of his hearers as they tried to deal with the horror of what had happened, and he addressed it. "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" In other words, was God punishing them for doing something awful? To this, Jesus says, "No, I tell you." And then he brings up another event, or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. "Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem?" Again, he said, "No, I tell you." We might also remember another time when some people asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither," says Jesus, and he cures the man of his blindness. Although there was a belief at that time that severe calamities only happened to people who deserved God's judgment, and that the truly righteous were spared suffering, Jesus said, "Not true. Someone's sin did not cause this man to be blind." Clearly, we aren't in heaven yet, and sometimes bad things happen, and they just aren't anyone's fault. Now, sometimes we do suffer because of sin, in a cause and effect kind of way. Those Galileans suffered because of Pilate's murderous sin. And in our day, too, destructive behaviors, violence, greed, the lust for power, the quest for vengeance lead to so much suffering in the world. And the church is called to speak out and act out in opposition to these forms of suffering. On a personal level, if I mistreat a friend, I may cause a friendship to suffer. If I don't take care of my health, my body may suffer. If I can feed someone and I choose not to, that person may suffer from my neglect. Our actions can have negative consequences. There's no mystery there. But sometimes we're tormented because we've actually been good and we've done the right thing and we've tried our best and still we or someone we love suffers. Honestly, as Christians, we of all people should not be surprised when bad things happen to good people. As someone has said, the idea that only good things happen to good people should have been put to rest when Jesus was nailed to the cross. I'll say that again. The idea that only good things happen to good people should have been put to rest when Jesus was nailed to the cross. If only our Christian faith was a protection against tragedy. But we know it simply is not. After all, the cross on which an innocent man died is the central symbol of our faith. So what difference does our faith make when bad things happen? In his book, The City of God, written in the 5th century, St. Augustine reflected on the great suffering that occurred when the barbarians sacked Rome. And he noted that Christians suffered just as much as non-Christians. Faith in Christ did not make them immune to pain and tragedy. He wrote, "Christians differ from pagans, not in the ills which befall them, but in what they do with the ills that befall them." Our Christian faith does not give us a way around tragedy. Our faith gives us a way through tragedy. As Paul writes, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Our faith in Christ gives us strength and courage for today and hope for tomorrow. So this passage has taught us so far, first, that suffering is not a form of punishment from God. Second, that violent or sinful actions can cause a lot of misery, and we're called to confront those actions and to lessen suffering. Now, after Jesus said, "No, I tell you," to the question of, was God punishing them, he said this to the crowd, "But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." And this is the third thing we learn from this passage today. God does not delight in suffering and calamity. Instead of wondering what others did to deserve their misery, we're to look to our own life and repent. And that brings us to the story that Jesus tells about the fig tree. After 3 long years, the tree had not borne a single fig, and the owner wanted to cut it down, but the gardener wanted to give it more time to tend it and help it grow. Now, if we're thinking that this fig tree story is about God, the landowner, and Jesus, the gardener, where God is angry and vindictive and wanting to cut down the fig tree that is not bearing fruit, while a friendly Jesus intervenes, we can do better. Let's think about how Jesus talks about God in this Gospel of Luke. Remember in the prodigal son, Jesus describes God as a father who is constantly scanning the horizon, longing for his wayward son to come home, and then rejoicing when he does. And Jesus describes God as a woman sweeping her house all night long, looking for a lost coin, and then throwing a party costing more than the coin is worth to celebrate that she found it. Luke's gospel shows us over and over that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. So given Luke's beautiful picture of how God reacts to sin, how God pursues sinners with love to bring them home, one scholar said that maybe the landowner who wants to cut down that tree that isn't performing up to standard isn't about God at all. It's actually about our own very human sense of how the world should work. We want things to be fair and understandable, where good is rewarded and bad is punished, all nice and neat and controllable. What if instead, this is another story about a loving God? God the gardener, who insists the answer to sin isn't punishment, but rather mercy and reconciliation and new life. And that Jesus' invitation to repent is about turning toward this God, orienting ourselves toward divine mercy and living in harmony with it. God keeps on gardening in the soil of our lives. God does not give up on us. So let's not give up on ourselves or each other or the world we are given. So where is God in suffering? In the midst of it, calling us to be faithful. In the midst of it, not punishing, but gardening. In the midst of it, with open arms. In the name of Jesus, amen.